Hey, and welcome back to another exciting episode of Extra Features Interviews. Today we have a film about a woman that finds a dead body. And that's all you need to know. We can't tell you anymore because that would kind of ruin the thing. It would be a dead giveaway, I guess. Today we have Ed V, a director, I think he's a writer too, of Dead Giveaway, Ian Kimble. Welcome to the show.
That's right. Thanks, man. Thank you very much. We're excited to be on here.
Yeah, I mean, let's discuss. How did you find me, first of all?
I was actually on Twitter and looking at another friend of mine made a pretty cool film, and he had a link that led to an interview with you, and it kind of all worked out. I was like, oh, this is great, you know? And so I checked out that interview and then listened to some more of your stuff and wanted to reach out.
Awesome. That's great. I only ask you that because you said, you might want to review my film. I'm like, how does this guy know me? That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
I want to discuss, I found your music right off the top very current.
Yeah.
So why did you go that way? Because you wanted to keep it for the hip and youth today?
A little bit. A lot of the music that's in there is actually, the majority of it is from a group out of Minnesota called Doomtree. They're just a hip hop group out of Minnesota that I really enjoy, and I have a good relationship with the producer, Laserbeak. He and I were talking back and forth a lot, which was really great. And he was really nice about letting me use some of the music in there. So it was sort of more than anything else, other than it being a hip or exciting thing. It's more like I wanted to give enough levity to the serious situation to kind of make it more comedic, kind of lighten the mood a little bit in the midst of the violence and bloodshed.
Okay, that's a good topic to discuss. Let's discuss your film in general. I mean, would you classify this as a comedy horror, a straight horror, or just a straight dramedy?
I don't know. You know, that's kind of a weird place for us because it's hard to find where to put it. The horror crowd seems to really enjoy it because it's got the intensity and the thrill and the violence of that. But the underlying theme of it is all comedy. My whole goal was always to make a movie about the thing that when you're looking at it from an outside perspective, it's hilarious, but if you were living it, it would be your worst nightmare.
Oh yeah, I absolutely think so.
Yeah, so that's kind of the movie that I wanted to make, and I think that's what we came up with, so I'm pretty happy with it.
And I think we have to apologize to the listener. We're going to discuss some things and not really get into them. And only me and you know what it's going to be like, so they get to see
cool.
The film. So I just want you to know that. I'm not going to spoil things for the listeners.
Right on.
But we're going to hit around things.
Yeah, because there's some fun twists and turns in there. So
absolutely. So I'll try to poke around as much as I can. Just want the listeners to know ahead of time that we do know what we're talking about, but we're not going there. Let's discuss your location. It's pretty much a one-room location, like even a one house. But you do venture out once. So let's discuss the house.
Yeah.
You had to have a very particular house, I want to say.
Yeah, it's my home, actually.
Is that your home?
Yeah, it's where I live.
Oh, okay.
Which the room that I'm in right now, which is where I do all of the work and the editing and stuff. I know it's a podcast, but you can kind of see the room around me. This was pretty much the makeup and hair location for the entire thing. And the bedroom where all of the bad stuff happens and the bathroom are all right next to each other, and then the downstairs. So it's a small row home. I live in Philadelphia in a row home. So what was fun was whenever we would be shooting in the living room, everybody sort of had to take all the stuff, and we would take all the gear and the crew, and everybody would go pile into the dining room. And then as soon as we were shooting in the dining room, we'd pick everything up, and we'd have to go pile everything back into the living room and back and forth. That's sort of the one of the fun things to me is always watching, like, one of the early scenes when the lead character, Jill, she's played by a really wonderful actress named Elena Camp, when she's pacing back and forth and she's all alone in there, it always makes me laugh because there's 15 other people on the other side of the camera and just, like, mountains of gear and stuff sitting around that, you know, that obviously the viewer can't see. That's sort of the fun of movies to me is even though somebody looks alone, they're in a room filled with people.
So let's back this up. Where did you find your bar? And then I want to go back to the house.
The bar, there's a few bars in there.
I always thought you were shooting the same one.
No, there's a few different ones. There's the one at the very end, like in the credits.
Yes.
And then there's one that the guy is in that you get to see his story. And then there's like a little flashback part. But honestly, all of the places that we go when we're hanging out, and I would just kind of befriend the manager or the owner or the bartender and be like, hey, can we come in here and shoot something real quick? And they were all pretty cool about it. And we would just sort of ask the rest of the patrons to sort of play along and have fun with us, and we'd buy a round of drinks and go for it.
So the bar was open while you were there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, every one of them.
That's awesome. You did a good job. I thought it might be two bars, but I thought maybe it was just the inside, outside.
Yeah. No, we did a handful of different ones. But, I mean, that's sort of the nice thing about living in Philadelphia is I can walk two blocks in any direction and stumble into a bar. But every one of them were super cool. Like, we didn't have anybody say no to us. Everybody was excited about us shooting a movie there. And, you know, the bartenders were like, oh, can I be in it? So, yeah, of course, man. Like, serve a drink. Go for it.
That's great. Now, let's go back to your house. I guess you had no cost for your house?
Other than the mortgage.
Right. So is that why you chose that location, to cut down on costs?
Yeah, exactly. That was really the goal for the whole thing, is keeping the cost down as much as possible and putting money where we really wanted to put it. Like, all of the money went to, we wanted to pay the actors and the crew well. We wanted to make sure that we had really good equipment. We shot with a Red Dragon, which was really great to work with. The music, we wanted to make sure that the money that we did have was going to where we really wanted to spend it, as opposed to spending a whole bunch of money on location and not having anything for a camera package.
Okay, let's get into the film a little bit more now. You start off with an opening scene. The woman wakes up in bed wearing her clothes in bed.
Yeah, from the night before, yeah.
So, I just want to discuss one thing. Was nudity ever discussed, or that was always your plan to have her fully clothed?
No, I definitely wanted her in the clothes that she wore the night before, because of the whole idea that, like, she just completely blackout drunk, passed out in bed. You know, practically shoes still on.
Okay.
That was sort of the idea the whole time. As far as nudity went, I kind of wanted to stray away from it because I don't think that the movie called for it at any point. It's not that – and again, like, the actors that we have are all – they're all professional actors. They're all working in theater and film in Philadelphia and elsewhere. But I don't think that nudity at any point would have served the movie in a way that it would have been anything other than, you know, just sort of – in there to be in there.
Well, that's why I'm asking. I just thought it would be the one scene in the film that might have happened. That was all.
Yeah, for sure. The whole thing was very much like, let's keep it as real as possible, because it's as ridiculous as the situation is. I do like the idea of it being as the moments being as completely real as they could be. Like, when she finally gets changed, you know, that scene of just, like, getting into normal comfy gear to kind of finish off the day I wanted it to be as lifelike as possible, and even though it was a completely ridiculous situation.
So I guess let's move on. And you had some – did you have any casting issues? I find Elena's friend had to be the most important casting character. Once you have your lead, she has to work well with her.
Oh, absolutely.
You have to build that friendship for me.
For sure. Well, what's really interesting is we actually made this a short film. This was like a 20-minute long short film that we did back in 2015, just to sort of get the concept and everything together. And that one we shot for even less. Like, we used a DSLR and we had nothing. But it was the exact same cast except for, the dead guy in bed. And what was fun was, like, literally one of the first times those two girls met was on set. So they just built this friendship themselves out of nowhere almost. But it was cool because everyone, from the cast and crew, like the team that I work with, our number one goal was always like, are you cool with bad words on here?
Absolutely.
Okay, cool. Our rule is no assholes on set. You know, like, we can't have anybody dragging things down. We don't like anybody who's a overly dramatic person. So when it came to the casting process, they're all people that I knew and loved. Like, sort of, it's almost like how Reservoir Dogs, the one guy recruited everybody, and even though they don't know each other, they're all going to work well together for the most part. And then, you know, Reservoir Dogs happens. But that's sort of the route that it was for us, where we all knew somebody from somewhere, and we all knew that this group of people together at a party would be a really fun party. So it would be a really fun movie to make. And everyone from the cast to the crew, everyone just clicked in a really wonderful way. It was a lot of fun.
So, you know, I have to ask you about the awkward roommate.
Oh, yeah. Lena. Her name is Lena Carollo. She's a really wonderful actress. And the best friend, by the way, is Kristen Foreman. They're really, really wonderful actresses. But, yeah, Lena is a lot of fun. She sort of gets the brunt of it all at the end, because all she ever wants to do is be friends and help, and it doesn't go well for her at all.
And I wrote down, sorry, before you continue, I know I interrupted you.
Oh, no, I like it.
Okay, just because I know you're not going to, I just want to get this question in. Did you write them to be awkward, or was that her acting to be awkward?
It was a lot of the writing. I would say that at the end of the day, everything was about, like 80% written and 20% improv. So the way that things were written, I did give them a lot of freedom. And then, like, once Alina came on set and I saw the way that she started interacting, like, especially in one of the early scenes when she's first in there and they're in the kitchen together, and Elena's like, oh, it's not blood on me. You know, she's kind of freaking out, and Alina, her character's getting ready to go to the gym. She just came on set and kind of started giving me that vibe when we were doing rehearsals. And in the rehearsal process, I saw that and I was like, okay, like, that's really good. Let's stick with that. And let's see what kind of stuff we can do there, and sort of built off of it. It was everything was a very organic process all the way up to the day we were shooting. Like, the script was always changing, and there was always a lot of fluidity that they could put in there. If any of them, up to our sound guy, if somebody had a cool idea, it was like, all right, let's see what we can do with that. But all of that was very much in the rehearsal process, because of the way that, like we were talking earlier about budget, everything that we did for the 6 months before the 3 weeks that we shot. So, and everything was so calculated. By the time we were getting ready to shoot, we knew everything that was going to happen, from where every light was going to be. We knew every lens we were going to use for every shot, and it was totally blocked. But that was all because of all of the prep work we did and building everything off of that.
Now, so you're saying you had 6 months of rehearsal time?
We had 6 months of prep time, where we were like painting walls in my house and, getting props together, getting costumes together, putting together. We had a really wonderful production manager, named Morgan, who had, she just has a brilliant artistic eye and could really put us in a good place as far as what colors to use, what pillows to buy, what nail polish the girls had to wear. But then rehearsal overall, I would say, was about, it was probably like the 6 to 8 weeks leading up to the shoot day. That was sort of, and what we did too, this is a fun trick that we did, was while they were rehearsing in the space, 'cause they would come to my house to rehearse, so we could block them in the space. we would use a camera, like a smaller DSLR, and take photos of them from the exact angles that we wanted the shots to be. So our shot lists and our storyboard was photographs of the actors in the space, as opposed to like doodled drawings, which we all learned how to do in film school. So it kind of worked out really great, because then once my cinematographer, Anthony Baronato, came on board, I just handed him a stack of photographs in the exact order. It was almost like a comic book of the entire movie that he could sit and look at. So it made the shooting process that much easier, because we shot this in 8 days.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, which is, I mean, again, it's a money issue, but we knew that the prep work was going to be the most important part of that.
So I want to write, I really felt your film changed into a buddy comedy at some point.
Yeah.
And is that planned too, or is that just something I'm reading into?
No. I think I always wanted to do, you're familiar with Pulp Fiction, I imagine.
I would think so.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite movies. The scene where Vincent and Jules are in the car and Marvin's in the back seat, and he turns around and he shoots Marvin in the face, and the next like 20 minutes they're just like yelling at each other of what they're going to do. That was this to me. Like, Dead Giveaway is that scene where it's very like, to me, that is a buddy comedy. But it's a buddy comedy in the sense that, like, something really traumatic is happening, and these people just – it's just funny to watch them deal with it. So as far as a buddy comedy goes, I originally, when I first wrote all this, it was going to be two guys, and I thought that it started to cross that boundary into, like, two buddy comedy. Like, it felt too Seth Rogen and Jonah Hill, and that wasn't what I was going for. I really wanted to have – more of like that panic anxiousness while also dealing with this nonsense. And so when you change those characters to girls and you make it a girl roommate and a dead guy in bed, then all of a sudden it has that a bit more of that flair to it.
So
where,
I want to back you up. You just dropped a bomb on us. So we got to back this up.
Sorry.
You were going to, so you originally went in the notion with two guys in your film and a dead girl.
Yeah.
Now, was this ever cast, or was everything done with this?
No, that was, I mean, that was when I first started writing the short version of it years ago. I had all of that put together, and I made it maybe 10 or 15 pages in, and you could tell right out of the gate it's not going to work.
Okay.
Because to me, as far as writing goes, once you know your characters well enough, they should be writing the dialogue for you. Like, I don't feel like I ever wrote the dialogue for these characters. They just talked and I wrote it down. As completely crazy as that sounds. But like, after 15 pages of having two guys be these parts and not being able to hear what they're going to say, or like it starts to sound cliche, or it feels forced, then you know you got to make a change. And instead of scrapping it, because I like the idea, it was like, all right, let's make it girls. And that was cool, because at the end of the day, that helped us with, because one of my producers, her name is Amanda Frederick, we sat down and one of her primary goals was like, well, let's get more women in film. Let's do more. And so aside from this being a cast of primarily women in all of the lead roles, it was, we had our production designer was female, assistant director, again, producer. We had more women on set doing things. And so that's sort of our goal, is try to make really good stuff that's funny that people are going to enjoy, but also do it responsibly and with a conscious mind toward the issues that Hollywood's facing.
Let's get into a little bit of specifics, and I'll try not to, if I'm overstepping my bounds, please tell me.
Go for it.
I like the indie scene. I've left that pretty vague.
There is a fun nod to Indiana Jones in there for sure. But I think any fan, I don't know, I think everybody should pick up on it. But, I grew up in love with Indiana Jones. I had the hat, and I would take shoestrings off of, everybody's shoes in my house and I would tie them together to make a whip. My family would all get really pissed off. Yeah. But, yeah, dude, I loved it. Like, I always loved Indiana Jones, so that was a big one for me. I wanted to stick that in there.
Well, I always have to ask. I love the bed discussion. And you know exactly the scene I'm talking about. I told you, I'm going to dart around things and just do the. I thought that was brilliant. I thought that was really good.
That was sort of the moment when, to me, because it's early on, the scene you're talking about, but that is the moment when, amidst all of the panic, because the first, like, 5 or 10 minutes of the movie are very panicky.
Yeah.
Very nervous. It's in the trailer, so I'm not worried about your audience. But she wakes up and finds a dead body next to her that's been stabbed to death. And she has no idea who this guy is. So the first 10 minutes of the movie are just panic. And then the scene that you're talking about when they discuss her bed is very much like, yeah, like I wanted to show the audience, like, it's going to lighten up. Don't worry. Like, this is going to give you something to laugh about.
Well, I will honestly say I had no idea it was lightening up. I'm like, where's this going? Because you just sort of drop us in.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, there's no previously on dead giveaway.
Yeah.
How exactly. I got here.
Yeah, I don't really do exposition very well. I find that even when, I mean, the movies that I love the most, and I don't know if it's just me, but the movies that I love the most, I'll watch them 100 times. But if I see that one is on TV and it's already 15 minutes in, I'm more apt to hit play and watch it because it's like, I know the exposition. Like, I know the backstory. Let's get to the meat. Like, let's get to where it's exciting. And so as far as this goes, it was like, I don't want a whole lot of exposition because we mentioned it before, she wakes up from being blackout drunk the night before. The challenge when you wake up from being blackout drunk, which I've been once or twice in the last, you know, month, is you stop for a second. You're like, okay, how did I get here? Like, what happened? Especially if you're waking up on like a friend's couch and you have that panic moment. It's like, oh my God, where am I? So it's fun to sort of just drop in on this poor girl who's like, oh, like, whoa, what's happening? Because I want the audience to kind of feel that punch in the face the same way that she does and then figure out the day with her.
I am going to spend a few minutes on the shower scene.
Cool. Yeah.
I want to know how cold the water was. That's always one of my favorite questions.
Freezing. It was freezing.
So you didn't even let it warm it up.
No. Well, that was the problem. So here's the thing. From the short film to the feature, there was no shower scene, obviously, in the short. And I really wanted to have something exciting happen because as I was, you know, when you're developing from a short script to a feature, it's like you gotta punch it up. And we really did have a lot of success with the short film. A lot of people enjoyed it. So it's like, all right, how do I triple this thing's length and still make it interesting? And I was like, all right, let's throw a shower scene in there. Like, let's give a nod to Hitchcock and see what we can throw out. So the first time we tried to shoot it, we're sitting in there and the camera's in the shower with her. So it's funny because you have like 7 people in my tiny little bathroom and there's 2 people in my shower, 3 people at a certain point once the cameraman's in there and they're all trying to figure it out. And so we turned the water on and it was warm and within 4 seconds the lens was foggy. And it was like, oh man, like that's not going to work. And so we tried to open windows and turn the fan on, but then the sound is screwed up. And it was like, I'm sorry, like the water's got to be cold. And so the water got turned on cold. And Maggie, who was in the shower, and Elena, who were in the shower, and Anthony, AJ, who was the cameraman, they handled it like champs. We got them some blankets and some towels and some dry clothes, and they knocked it out of the park. And we did it quick. I mean, they were probably only in there for maybe 20 minutes or a half hour, but it was, it turned out great and they were champions about it. But yeah, the water was pretty chilly.
Hey, she at least got to dance in the shower.
She got to dance in the show, right? Sometimes you got to just dance it out.
That's what she says. I guess the one thing else I'm going to harp on, you have quite a few knocking out scenes.
Yeah, yeah.
Did anybody really hit somebody by accident?
No, we were all pretty safe. A lot of the stuff is fake. There was a lot of prop stuff we had. But certain things were real. Like, there's a couple good hits with some pretty big, heavy objects. But, no, we just tried to use as many tricks of the camera as we could, you know, stay far away and we'll shoot it from over here and it'll look good, or, you know, just miss him and swing by his shoulder and it'll look good. But no real accidents on set. I think the only real accident we had on set was, there's one point when Elena and Kristen, are running through the kitchen to the front door because the roommate's coming home. It's right when she's home and they're in the kitchen. She's like, oh shit, my roommate's here. And they run so they can hide what's in the dining room at that point. The one time we were shooting that, Elena goes running through and hits her toe so hard on my dining room table. And my dining room table is like this big, thick wooden table. Like that thing, it takes a couple grown men to move it. And she drilled it with her foot so hard that she fell and her pinky toe swelled up and turned black. But she was a trooper. She got up and she was like, it's okay. We kind of put ice on it. We all panic and, you know, and try to hold her foot and make sure she's okay. But yeah, that was the only real accident on set the whole time. We were very lucky.
Just one more character I want to discuss, and I'm going to be very gentle. The brother's brother that shows up at the door.
Yeah.
I would have punched him out.
You what?
He was so obnoxiously annoying. I'm just like, who would we even want to talk to you?
Yeah, he's a real sweetheart. That's Will Connell. He's an incredible actor. And that was what I did. He and I talked about it a bunch, and it was like, hey, man, be pushy. Like, you want to get in this house. And especially once things start getting weird, like when another girl answers and says that the first girl isn't there, like, figure this out and get in this house. And he was good and pushy about it. And it worked out like a champ.
Oh, yeah. He was the most annoying character. I thought the roommate had the win until I met him. I'm like, nope, you win. I guess I can ruin it. He does not get killed, but I was so hoping.
Yeah.
At some point, somebody knocked him off. He did his job excellent.
He got beat up pretty good. He got beat up pretty good.
Your fundraising. Did you do much fundraising? Was it family and friends? Was it Kickstarter? Was it Indiegogo?
We did a bit of the, what's the one? It's not Kickstarter. GoFundMe. We did a bit of a GoFundMe, and raised maybe $5,000 that way. But a lot of the money that we had was from, we would do, our way of raising money to make our first feature was, because the same team made a whole bunch of short films together. So we would do like two good short films, we'd get them in, and then we would contact other local filmmakers. And instead of making it like a film festival where they have to pay to enter or whatever, we would just find ones that we liked and people we enjoyed. We'd be like, hey, come show off your movie. We'd rent out a place, a theater in Philly somewhere, and then we would charge tickets and their friends and family would come and everybody would come and we'd try to give the other filmmakers whatever we could. But then at the end of the day, it was like, hey, you're screening your movie for free, and we would have bands and drinks and food and stuff. And so we raised a lot of money doing that by putting on our own shows and, you know, taking the ticket money and putting things towards that. Self-funded, put a lot of my own money into it to make it happen. But then, yeah, we raised about $5,000 or $6,000 on GoFundMe from friends and family and supporters over the years.
That's awesome. I think that's a great idea. It's the first time I've ever heard of that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the putting on shows, because, like, it works really well in a couple of ways, because you're meeting other great filmmakers, you're supporting other people's work. You can find other cool actors from other movies that you might have never seen before that you can take onto your own stuff. And at the end of the day, you're having a big party and everybody's having a good time, and you're getting eyeballs in front of your movie that wouldn't have seen it otherwise. you know, because so many people just watch, you know, their friend's movie, or the only people, like, if you're making a movie, the only people are going to watch it are your mom and your dad. But it's like, well, you know, if you invite other people to show their stuff, then their moms and dads are going to see your stuff too, and their friends are going to see yours too, and other actors are going to see it. So we built a really great network that way, as far as having other filmmakers and other people who support the arts. Kind of, we sort of tricked them into seeing our stuff, but it worked out because now we have a large pool of people that we're really good friends with, that we go see and support their stuff. We make stuff with a lot of them. It's a really cool way to sort of bring the community together.
I think that's awesome. Like I said, that's the first time I've ever heard that. And I totally screwed up my next question. Oh, I'm sorry. That's all right. No problem. I was listening to you intently and forgot where I was going. Your film's done.
Yeah.
Are you going the film festival route, or is this going on VOD? Where's this ending up?
So right now, it's been entered into a good handful of film festivals. Our big fingers crossed festival that we're going to hear by the end of the month is Slam Dance. We'd really, really love to get it in there. That's a huge one for us. But yeah, we entered it into a handful of others. Right now it's sort of a racket. Because at this point, it's where do you premiere it? Because as soon as you premiere it, once you have that one world premiere, it's over. Like, that's your one shot to show it to everybody. So instead of just having a local thing here where we world premiere it in Philly to, again, friends and family, even if it was a private screening, you know, those lines get blurred. We're kind of holding out hope that, like, we did Real Independent in Hollywood, IFF in Boston. And obviously Slam Dance. Slam Dance is that's our big one that we really have our fingers crossed on. The goal is to have a one really good world premiere and then just hit as many festivals as we can to get as many people to watch it as possible.
That's great. I think that's really cool. Yeah. So since you're ready for your fun questions, since you've told me you've listened to all these interviews.
Yeah, I'm pumped.
So you know those are all ones or not ones you're getting.
Okay. Oh, shit. Okay.
So I hope you didn't have a list prepared because I totally
missed the list. Just gotta take this and throw this whole thing away.
Yeah, you're done. So since you mentioned music, your favorite song?
Ooh, favorite song. Oh man, that's tough. Right now, I've been listening to. I've been listening to a lot of. I've always been a big hip hop fan, and I think my favorite artist as of the last couple of years has been Aesop Rock. I love the guy. He's from Long Island in New York. He lives out towards LA now, and the guy he's a brilliant, brilliant lyricist. Favorite song by him? He has one about his cat called Kirby. If you get a chance, look up the music video for Kirby. You'll get a good idea of who the guy is and what he does. And the whole video is just a puppet version of him playing with his cat. It's hilarious and it's wonderful. I think the guy's amazing. So yeah, I'll throw that one out there.
One movie character you want to share a meal with?
A movie character I want to share a meal with?
Correct.
Good question. Good question. Tyler Durden.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. You're
on. Let's see what he's got to say.
That could be insane.
Yeah, that would be a weird day.
And you know you can't talk about it once you're done.
Yeah, no, that would be it.
So nobody's going to know it ever happened. Your favorite class in school?
Physics. I always loved physics. I was a math major, so.
So we would love to at this point to say thank you for coming on and everybody go see your film wherever, but we can't. So we want everybody to sit there and hopefully Slam Dance will accept this film. Yes, and then you can sit on the independent film market.
Yeah, and honestly, if everybody wants to, it would be really cool to go to the website. It's shoestringgold.com. And the front page on there is the trailer for the movie. And if you at all wanted to share it on whatever social media platform just to kind of get the buzz going on about it, And if anybody listening knows anybody at Slam Dance, give them the thumbs up. Let them know. It's a really good movie. I think it's pretty good and pretty fun.
So. It's very fun.
Cool, man.
I really liked it. Thank you for your time.
Dude, Simon, thanks so much. Dude. It's been a real pleasure.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Hey, I just want to say thank you for listening to this great interview. We have more on our website at www.extrafeatures.ca. And if you enjoyed it, can you please go to iTunes and leave us an iTunes review and like us on our Facebook page? Thank you.